Welcome to the Elementary Librarian Podcast, where we discuss simple tips and tricks to help you take your school library to the next level. And now your host, Jocelyn Sam.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to today's show. I'm very excited to have on our show today Miss Alicia Whitaker. She is the young adult author of the book The Queen of Kentucky, and she's also writing a new series called The Wildflower Series. Alicia, we're very excited to have you today. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm so excited to be here. I love your website, and it's pretty cool that, you know, I get to be on this podcast. It's awesome. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you're welcome. I'm very excited that you're here. And first of all, do you want to just tell the listeners a little bit about yourself, maybe about your background, about reading and the library as you were growing up in school? Anything you'd like to share with us?
Definitely. I am originally from, actually, I was born in Frankfort, Kentucky. And when I was six, I moved to Cynthiana and started first grade, and I ended up graduating from Harrison County High School in Cynthiana. And it was a great place to grow up, a small town. I grew up on a small cattle and tobacco farm, which I think gave me a unique insight into the type of stories that I write, which is commercial rural fiction. And I just think that setting is so rich, and there's so much that I can draw from. And I was an avid reader growing up. I remember in sixth grade when I started middle school, I was walking through the eighth grade halls bumping into kids like twice my size because I could not get my nose out of a book. Like even to switch between classes, I had to keep reading. So reading was always super important to me. And yet a lot of things I checked out from the Cynthiana Public Library were like the Perry Mason novels, like mysteries and stuff. Of course, I read a lot of Sweet Valley Twins and stuff like that, but there wasn't really anything like my first book, The Queen of Kentucky, which is that commercial rural fiction, which is a kid that I could personally relate to. And so that's kind of why I've started to write for girls like me, or I guess I should say, you know, teens like me. But yeah, they knew me at the library, and I loved my librarians growing up. Miss Faston, Miss Graham, Miss Harrington, shout out, holla.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure maybe one of them might be listening, so that'd be awesome.
So, yeah, the library was very important to me, and reading has always been really, really important to me.
Yeah, I like some of those books that you mentioned, too. I was a big Sweet Valley High and all that. Yeah, that was, you know, awesome reading in the 80s and 90s.
I wanted to be a twin so bad. Like, what can I do to make this happen? Oh, yeah, and Babysitter's Club. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Love that book.
Love the Babysitter's
Club. In high school, I found Gone with the Wind, and I think I really was attracted to that book because of how entrenched it was in Southern history, I guess, even though it's fiction. And I read that every summer, and it was also like a nice big book I could not just finish in a day. I was one of those kids that finished every book like in a day, and I needed more. So at least Gone with the Wind could be a nice two-dayer.
I read things very quickly also. Can you tell us a little bit about what you're doing now, where you live, and just about your life right now?
Yeah, when I was 24, actually October 4th, 2004, I moved to New York City. And I just had my 9-year anniversary, which is crazy. And yeah. I live in Queens, and I always tell kids at the schools that I visit, I always say, you know, I wrote The Queen of Kentucky, but I am the Kentuckian of Queens.
always exactly.
Get a kick out of that. But I've been known to stomp my cowboy boots through the streets of Manhattan. I like the city, but I love the country, and I love the South. I'm actually super homesick. I think after having my two boys, my husband and I have two boys, one's 3 and one just turned 1-year-old yesterday. So, you know, it's not how I saw my life unfolding. They always say life is what happens when you're busy making plans. That's kind of what happened to us. We now had to either have a kid in the city or not have kids. And so now it's just an interesting life path. But that's why I love coming back to, you know, the Mid-South.
Right. Well, I wanted to let the listeners and my readers know a little bit about how we know each other. I met Alicia back in college. We went to the University of Kentucky, and our husbands actually went to high school together. And so that's how we met each other. And we've kind of kept in contact loosely over the years. And
why didn't we warn each other then?
Yeah, that's the truth. What were we thinking? No, they're very, very good men. Anyway, I found out that Alicia was becoming an author, and, you know, me being a librarian, I was like, wow, that's really cool. I wonder if maybe she would like to come to my library, maybe do a visit. You know, I'd love to read her book. And so we kind of got in contact again in that way, and I'm actually going to be acting as her booking agent going forward. Yay. So I'm really excited about that. And so I just wanted to kind of let you guys know, you know, our background on a personal and professional level.
Definitely. And it's been pretty awesome on both aspects. I love, like, being your friend, but I also love working together. When I did the tour in March that you set up, it was so smooth. I love how you helped get all the librarians prepared. I love how you helped get them in contact with each other. That just makes my visit so successful. And I just felt like it helps the students. The kids kind of are interested. When I was at Meade County, the middle schoolers wanted to know if I was going to the high school.
Right.
They had big brothers and big sisters at the high school. So it's kind of fun when you're able to group those visits together, and when the schools reach out to the other schools in the community, and it gets the whole community excited for an author visit. It's really a great way to get the kids excited.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's what it's all about. And so, you know, going from there, can you tell us a little bit about how you became an author? What got you interested in writing?
I always just was, I think, a good writer from a young age. I always tell the kids that I won the soil conservation essay contest in fourth grade, and I say that's always my jumping point when I knew things were going to turn out well. I mean, that thing was printed in the paper. That's a big deal.
That's right, yeah.
No, I'm kidding. And so then I just thought of writing was a great way to get an easy A in class. I don't think I realized how special it was, to be honest. It was just, English was always easy. Math was hard. English,
yeah, me
was
too.
Not so hard. So when I was 15, as a sophomore, my teacher, Regine Burgess, she brought me my short story I had turned in, and she brought me an application for the Governor's School for the Arts. And she said, I think you ought to submit to this. And I was like, what is this? And I had never heard of GSA, a 3-week, all-expense-paid program to study, you know, intensively an artistic discipline. And she thought I had the gift for creative writing. So she brought me this short story I had turned in about Wally the Wall. It's just a short story about a day in the life of a wall. And from there, I turned that in. I got a call back, and I had to turn in a poem. And I got a call back, and then I got into that program. And that is when my life, I think, really did change as a 15-year-old, to go to this program where there were other artists. And all of the kids were actually interested in the stories I turned in, not just to be in my group so that I could help them get an A, but they actually liked the things I wrote from an entertainment perspective. And then I met other kids who, you know, I was so smitten with this boy who played saxophone, and there were, you know, my friends that were in drama, and there were friends that did visual art, and it was just really neat. As writers, we got to write lyrics for the vocalists. We got to write plays for the actors. We got to write poems to inspire the potters and painters. So it was actually an incredible program. And that's the first time I thought, I wonder if I could get paid and make a living in the arts. And I think that's kind of where things took off for me.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about how you went from writing at the Governor's School for the Arts to becoming a published author today.
Well, like I said, that community was incredible. And when I came back to Cynthiana after being at that program for those 3 weeks, I was on fire. I was like, yes, I'm so excited to have a career in the arts. But no one got it, because everybody else was excited about, you know, football season was going to start up soon, or, you know, there's going to be a girls' soccer team for the first time. Those things were what people were more excited about. And so I kind of got back into just the regular Alicia kind of pre-GSA life of where, okay, I'm just going to use writing again to get good grades. And I'm going to get back into the drama club and be in the school play. And I'm going to just kind of, I came down from that high pretty quickly. I will say, one teacher, though, that next year named Miss Andrews, who kicked my butt. And she gave me my first paperback, and it was like a C. I was like, I've never gotten a C in my life. And, you know, later on she told me my C was still some of the other students' A, but she recognized that I could have done better. And she pushed me. That woman pushed me. So, you know, a really, really great teacher that didn't just let me skate.
Yeah, and so when you don't think your job is important, teachers, listen to this.
I mean, she really pulled stuff out of me. It was hard, but all children have to be disciplined.
Yeah, that's the truth.
That's what I'm learning with my three-year-old.
As am I.
So from GSA to college, then at college, you know, I thought that I was going to acting, because that's something else that I'm kind of passionate about. I love public speaking. I love acting. And as I was trying out for plays and in college, I realized that the things that were giving me the most notoriety within the fine arts school were the things I wrote myself. So the monologues I wrote, or the short plays that I wrote for me and my friends that were getting performed, I was just having more success. And again, it was like basically something pounding me over the head, like, you're a writer. You're a writer. Everybody else sees it. So then I moved to New York 9 years ago. And I mean, if you'd asked me, I've been here for 9 years, I would have said you're crazy. But anyway, I moved to New York and I started auditioning and trying to get an agent. And I also started slamming poetry at the New York Poets Cafe. And so it seems like I always had a foot in each side, in the acting world and in the writing world. And I was having mild success in both. I was getting published in a few literary magazines for short stories, but I was also in a few commercials and game shows and talk shows. So things were kind of happening both ways. But again, it seems like the stuff I was getting notoriety for, even within my acting, was kind of when I was being myself. More so than, I mean, I don't, like, in New York is a Broadway town, and I don't really sing and dance unless it's in my shower. I don't dance often in my shower, but hey. So, again, it was just the times that I was myself was when I was kind of finding success. And so I have a show called Becoming Woman that I perform with my friend. I wrote and perform with my friend Ellen Hagen, who's also an actor and writer. And it has just, for 7 years, been a huge hit. Kids have won college scholarships from performing that show that we wrote. And so my husband finally said, Alicia, I was about to turn 30, and he's like, Alicia, why don't you just write a young adult novel? And I was like, what? And he said, that is the one thing that you've written and performed that everyone loves, guys, girls of all ages, everyone loves. You just remember somehow your adolescence and teen years so vividly, and it's so funny and humorously that you should just give it a try. So there's an organization called MediaBistro.com up here in New York, and you can take classes either online or in person. So I signed up, I paid for it, and I'm like the kind of person, if you pay something, you're going to like get your money's worth. If I pay for a gym membership, I'm going to go to the gym, which is why I don't have a gym membership. So I signed up for this young adult novel writing class with Nicole Ostow, who is also a young adult author. And the great thing about her class, besides the fact that she said we could submit 20 pages a week, which is a lot, and you better believe I submitted 20 every week if I was paying for it. Besides that, she's a former editor at Simon & Schuster, or Penguin. Gosh, I forgot now. But she's a former editor. And besides that, she's written over 40 books. And besides that, she's connected. And what she did for us that was so great was bring in an editor and or agent that's a personal friend of hers every week. And for the first hour of class, she had us pick their brains. So we were able to ask them, hey, as an agent, how do you like to be queried? And I was taking notes, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like, you know, what, and asking editors things, just, I don't know, I can't even think about it now, but about plot and about character and about what's hot and trendy right now and about their list. It was a really unique insight to the publishing industry. And so when I finished my book in that class, I queried those agents that came to our class, and I reached out to some of those editors, and it was shortly thereafter that an agent got back to me. And besides that, I also learned from those agents how to query agents that I didn't have a personal connection to or whom I had never met before. So, right. For instance, my book, if you like Queen of Kentucky, you'll probably like a book like Dairy Queen. And so you go to the book Dairy Queen, and you look in the acknowledgments in the back, and you look, what agent did she think? What editor did that author think? And that's who I queried as well, because, hey, my book is similar to that book. You know, I researched you. And I talk to the students when I do school visits. I talk to them about that, too, because they always ask me, how do you get published? And there's a lot of answers to that, but that's one good trick.
That's a good thing to know.
I got an agent, and she pitched me to editors who represented contemporary fiction. And that's how I ended up with Poppy at Little Brown, and I couldn't be happier.
Well, great. Can you tell us a little bit about what you've written so far, your book, The Queen of Kentucky, and your upcoming work?
The Queen of Kentucky, I always say, is my love letter to home. It's obviously fiction, but a lot of authors' first works are semi-autobiographical. I would say the setting is definitely a lot like Cynthia in the Kentucky. I just thought that was too rich of a setting not to highlight in at least one of my books. And it's about 14-year-old Ricky Jo Winstead, who goes from a private school into the public high school for the first time. And she's so excited to be part of the in crowd. And she ditches her Bible for 17 Magazine. She ditches her farm clothes for new sophisticated clothes from the mall. And she drops her double name, Ricky Jo, for, you know, her Christian name, Erica, because it has more swagger. She just is trying to use that freshman year as her chance to reinvent her image. And along the way, you know, she kind of figures out that not only is it important to make friends, but that you have to also be a good friend. And also she kind of learns, I feel like, that when you that change is fine. If you want to change yourself, that's fine. But you never change yourself for someone else. Change because you feel like you personally need it, and it would help you to be a better person or to have a better life. But whenever you try to change for someone else, it just doesn't end well.
Oh, that's the truth. I agree with you there. And so your book has been very well received from what I have seen, and you are now working on a new series, and it's called Wildflower, correct?
Yeah, Wildflower.
And can you tell us a little bit about that? What are those books going to be about?
Wildflower follows a 16-year-old named Bird Barrett, and she has been playing bluegrass music with her family on an RV for the past 6 or 7 years, just going across the country playing, you know, bluegrass music. And she gets discovered, and so this is kind of her story as finding dealing with stardom and fame within the country music world. So the first book, that's what you're going to kind of see, is Bird getting discovered and what that is. And the second and third book will just follow her career. I don't want to give anything away, but I'm really, really excited. And I feel like it's a great book. The characters are super fun. I cannot wait. It comes out in July, so I'm really looking forward to it.
Okay. So you may be wondering, some of my listeners, you know, why are we talking to a young adult author on an elementary librarian podcast? Well, the reason that I wanted to bring Alicia on today is because I want to talk a little bit about author visits. And she does author visits at all levels of schools. In fact, she came to my elementary school last year and did a really great job. And Alicia, can you tell us a little bit about what a typical visit with you would look like at each different level of school? So maybe talk some about what you do at elementaries, what you do at middle schools, and what you might do at high schools.
Well, definitely. My book is, the publisher says my books are for ages 12 and up. And as a reader, myself as a young reader, I always read up. And I know a lot of kids do read up. But I do think, you know, when parents ask me, oh, my kid's 10, like, could I buy your book? And I always say, what I suggest is that you read it first as a parent, and then you decide if these themes are too old for your kids or not, you know. And So a lot of fourth and fifth graders have read it, and some parents are waiting till they're in sixth grade. Either way, I don't try to just sell books just to get a book sold. I always try to let the parent know that this is, you know, for 12 and up. So that's why at an elementary school, when I go to an elementary school, I don't focus as much on the Queen of Kentucky as I do on writing in general. And so I might read a page or maybe two from the book just to let them hear the way I kind of dramatically read or humorously read, just to get them into it a little, but not much. Mainly, I talk to them about where I'm from. I let them ask a lot of questions. These elementary kids love to ask questions, and I pass out stickers or bookmarks and magnets. And if you're going to give a kid something for free, you better believe their hand's going to be shot up in the air to ask a question. But the most fun thing I like to do with elementary students is help them write a simple story. So during the visit, I'll help them write a story. So we'll say, once upon a time, and I'll have them help shout out characters. You know, a unicorn, a wrestler, a flower, you know, whatever it is, they'll shout out things.
I think we had Justin Bieber at my school.
I think so. And so they're so excited, and they're engaged, right? And so then I'll say, who lived in, you know, we basically want to set up the average day. I'm just showing them that every story we start, we set up the average day. And then we say, you know, one day, so we're taking the character out of their ordinary world and kind of giving them a call to action, right? So I think at the most recent elementary school I did at St. Mary's Academy, they shouted out that the main character ran away from home. The parents were going to move, and so she ran away. The unicorn. So it was once upon a time, you know, blank, until one day, blank, they fill in the blank. And then we say, so, and they shout out different scenarios of how she might successfully run away, let's say. And then I say, but, and they have to see that that didn't work, right? They give me an idea of why that didn't work. And I say, so, and we think of another way that she could solve her goal. But, and then she's thwarted again. And then, so, they think of a good idea until finally, and they come up with an ending. It is awesome. And at the end, I always remember it, or I always write it on the whiteboard, or I do something so that I keep repeating the story as we build onto it. And at the end, and a lot of times they say it with me, once upon a time, because they remember, and it's great. And at the end I say, wow, you guys, it took me 6 months to write The Queen of Kentucky, and it took you guys about 15 minutes. And they're like, what? You know, I'm like, you just wrote a story. You just wrote a novel. You just wrote a book. Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, my students really, really enjoyed that. But you're pretty flexible too on what you do for school visits.
Oh, definitely.
If somebody wants, you know, something in particular, or you know, you're willing to accommodate them also.
Oh, definitely. At middle schools, I typically read from the book, and then you know, talk about being from Kentucky, moving to New York, and I do a little bit more Q&A. But if actually, middle school and high school is very similar. Middle schoolers like the Q&A a little bit more. And then in high school, I also try to show my book trailer, which is like a movie trailer for a book. And that always gets the name. Even the reluctant readers, after they see the book trailer, you should see the hands shoot up. And I say, now who's interested in reading this book? And the librarians are always like, yes.
Yeah, I've really started using book trailers in my library, and it's been a really awesome thing. They are so it's amazing how much more engaged they are when you show them something visual like that.
You have to meet kids at their medium, and so that's why I have to have a Twitter presence and a Facebook presence and Vine and YouTube. You know, I have to meet them there, and I'm willing to do that because at the end of the day, I want them to pick up a book, and that's obviously the goal in all of this. And a lot of times, I will say, another thing I do at school visits, if the teachers request it, we'll do writing exercises. If there's time, or another school just booked me for to stay over about 15 minutes to talk to some people who are just a few handful of kids that were interested in writing as a career. So I definitely did that. I definitely will try to accommodate these kids and these schools because, hey, you know, I'm not just doing it. I'm not just coming to school for the heck of it. I want to make an impact on these kids' lives.
Exactly. Well, can you tell us, based on your visits so far, what can we as librarians or teachers do to make your visit the most successful and meaningful for students? Just like you were saying, you know, that's what it's all about.
I think that I will say that every school I've gone to, I have enjoyed it so much, and I do think that the kids have as well. But the schools where the kids have been the most enthusiastic are when the teachers and librarians have either been reading the book aloud to their classes, maybe the week before I come, or they have partnered with, for instance, the Carnegie Center in Lexington. They bought a classroom set for the kids at Jesse Clark Middle School, which was awesome. So all of those kids had read the book, so they were so excited to meet me. You know, and another teacher in Georgia just went on Kickstarter, or maybe it's another donation type of website, and raised money to buy her students a classroom set. So her goal was 40 books, and she met the goal in 2 days. She just put it on her Facebook, and people will pitch in. And when the kids have the book in hand before I come, man, you should see their enthusiasm. They're so excited. And then when I'm reading aloud, it's the greatest feeling when I turn a page and I hear all 60 students turn a page at the same time. It gives me cold chills. And if you can't get the book in their hand ahead of time, you could do, for instance, what Meade County Middle School was doing, where their teachers were reading aloud to them the week before I came. Or here at Coney Island, there was a school, Mark Twain, that was also doing something similar where the students had the book. It just helps a lot. If they can't get the book ahead of time, you could do exercises that I could send ahead of time. We could talk about some writing exercises that they could do before I come that then we could finish up. You could show them my website. You could show them the book trailer. There's just a lot of ideas that you can do, because if you get them pumped up, then you've already helped me to meet an audience who's excited to see me.
Exactly. And I think that's the key. I've tried to do that with all of my author visits. You know, I try to make my students aware of their work before they come. And I think it really does make a big difference. Okay, Alicia, thank you so much for all of this awesome information. I love to hear from all different kinds of people that are related to libraries, and I have some really awesome guests coming up on my show, and I'm so glad to have you here today. If people want some more information about you or your books, where should they go?
You can definitely check out my website, aliciawhitaker.com, aliciawhitaker.com. And that's where you can find out about my books and my blog and my book trailer and anything about me. You can also contact me there through the contact form. Or if you're interested in booking me for your school to come and visit your students, which I would love, then I'm working on a school visit tab that should be up soon. And you'll be able to talk to me about bookings or contact Jocelyn so that I could come to your school soon. Also, you can look for me on Facebook. I have a Facebook page. Please come and like it. And I'm on Twitter. It's at Alicia Whitaker. So hopefully I'll hear from y'all soon.
Yeah, and all that information will be on my show notes for Podcast 5. And so if you would like to go back and check out that information without having to write everything down, maybe you're driving around or something, just go to elementarylibrarian.com/podcast5 and you will find all of those links right there for you. If you are interested in booking a school visit, we are working on a November tour for the state of Kentucky. We would also consider other areas close to Kentucky for that. And also we're working on some tours for the spring, and you know, Alicia, correct me if I'm wrong on this, but I think that you're open to traveling different places.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, I do have readers from all over the United States. I even have some readers all over the world. So if you're interested in having Alicia come to your school, and I can tell you from personal experience that she does a great job, you know, we'd love to hear from you. Just let us know, and we will definitely get some information your way.
Oh, definitely. And that's the case. If you're thinking, oh, I'm in Tennessee, you know, I don't know if she'd come all the way to Tennessee. Well, I would, because you could also contact a librarian or media specialist in your town for a different age level. So if you're elementary, you could contact your middle, you could contact your local high school, or maybe other librarians a few towns over. And if I could get, you know, a bunch of schools that are in a similar area, then heck yeah, I got on a plane. I'll be there soon.
Exactly, yeah. So we would love to hear from anyone in any area if you're interested in having Alicia come. She even does Skype visits too, and so
right.
that could be an option for some of you where, you know, the travel is just not going to work out.
Definitely.
Okay, well, Alicia, thank you so much. Is there anything else you would like to say to the readers, listeners?
Oh, no, I just want to say thanks so much. And I, especially to you librarians that are listening, I just appreciate you so much. I just appreciate how you help the reluctant readers and even the avid readers like I was. I just love how you look at each kid as an individual. And my favorite thing is when students tell me, oh, I read The Queen of Kentucky because, you know, my librarian suggested it because I liked, and then they'll say another book that was similar. And I just think, you know, how smart that you look at each kid as an individual and tailor their interest to that child and then suggest books for them. And I just appreciate you.
Well, we appreciate that. And it's nice to, you know, that someone recognizes that. I always get tickled all the time because parents of my students will come in and, you know, I'll say to them, hey, I recommended this book to your child because I know that he really likes sports. And they're
right.
like, you know, how do you know this about all of these children? But
how do you remember? It's
yeah.
so awesome. I love it.
But it's amazing. I mean, my school is kind of small. We only have about 300 students, but still I can look at just about every one of those 300 students and I can say, you know, that you need to check out this book, or you know, they can come and ask me, which one of these should I check out? And I'll say, oh, definitely this one. So, yeah, that's a really cool thing. And I'm very appreciative of all the awesome librarians out there, too. So, Alicia, we thank you so much.
Thank you.
We wish you so much success with your upcoming series and appreciate you so much being on the show today.
Thanks.
You're welcome. I appreciate all of my awesome listeners. You guys, thank you so much, and I hope you all have a great day.
Thank you for listening to the Elementary Librarian Podcast, brought to you by elementarylibrarian.com.